Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD. It's our continuing 2024-2025
Woohoo!
preseason coverage. Tonight, we are bringing you our Big 12 preview show, or our Big 16 preview show, as Mr. Slika is pointing out down there. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined up top here by David Dorman and David Griggs. Down below me, Joby Fortson. To his sides, John Tytel and John Stalica. And we've got a lot to get to because we've got a very big conference, with a ton of teams that are starting the season in the top 25 polls, ton of teams that were in the NCAA tournament last year, although none of them advanced past the Sweet 16. And we also have the number one team in the nation in the preseason polls coming in, and maybe that is just where we should start off with the Kansas Jayhawks. And Joby, since this is your first time with us this season, why don't I start with you as well? What are your thoughts about this Kansas team that, like I said, ranked number one heading into the season?
Yeah, Joby making his season debut. Where the hell have you been?
And he's on mute.
What's been going on in Virginia? Anything? Where have you been?
What?
Yeah.
I've been undermining Tony Bennett.
Yeah,
finally
just as a
worked.
quick note, we are recording this on the evening of October 17th, which means we all just heard the news coming out of Tony Bennett's retirement, but we did the ACC last night. But Toby, Big 12 Kansas.
So anyway, I'm in mourning as our Virginia as our Virginia fan resident. But on to Kansas. What I love about Kansas, why they deserve the number one ranking, is I like teams that have inside outside capability. And when you've got Hunter Dickinson, who's probably the, I think he won preseason player of the year, projected. He's an All-American candidate, et cetera. Naismith candidate, all the way. You got your inside. And his ability to pass the ball as well as just be that big presence and shoot, is what makes him so strong. But the unique thing that I really like is Zeke Mayo. I think this is, he's a local kid, goes off, to South Dakota, and then comes back. And I think Zeke Mayo is going to be the key to really make this team go. It's not going to be a case where you can just, pack on Hunter Dickinson, force him to throw the ball, and oh, good luck creating from there. I think you're going to see a lot of creation fly out, from that spot, where you basically have a couple of point guards, for lack of a better word, on the floor. So that's really, AJ Storr is going to be a good addition as well. I mean, Bill Self has done it again. He's, every year they are, it seems like they are a projected Final Four type team. This is no different. I think they'll do better than the fifth place they did last year. And if for no other reason, I think the Big 12 isn't, well, its depth is there because there's 16 teams. You don't have every team is not a candidate for the NCAA tournament this year. I don't see slip ups and them sliding down the list too far. Maybe Houston or someone else can fight them for it. But Kansas is a very respectable pick to be not only the Big 12 champion at the end of the year, but a real contender for the national champion, as the pollsters have indicated.
I'm just going to echo something that you said, Joby, about Zeke Mayo. Myself, I know Chad and Stalika too follow under the radar. If you're most people watching us probably go deep into the weeds of college basketball, but in case you don't, this is a fantastic player. He was a, I mean, I know he was at South Dakota State, but this is a high level Power Five, possible NBA level player. He's phenomenal.
He's the re I will I project that he will be all Big 12 this year, though I will defer to John Tytel if he has different thoughts.
I liked him a lot better when he was at South Dakota State.
Well, Tytel, you've been
Oh,
called upon.
Dorman's here
What are
too.
your
Dorman's an
thoughts?
under the radar guy too. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
But Tytel, what are your thoughts about that question?
You repeat the question, please? There was a lot of chatter.
Zeke Mayo.
Is Zeke Mayo, do you think Zeke Mayo can be first team all Big 12?
He certainly can. Great scorer. And we've seen transfers succeed in the past when they go to number one schools. But You could also argue he's not even the most important guard in his team, as DeJuan Harris Jr. is a three-time all-defensive team player. So the answer is yes, but the sidebar is that he might not even be the best backcourt player on his own team.
I think that also shows how deep and how strong this team is, though, Tytel. I mean, I agree with Joby that this team is very much a national championship contender and should maybe be the favorite heading into the season. What do you think?
Do you think they're underrated a little bit coming into the season?
That's a no.
Those are available.
First of all, quick note here, Matt Sikowski joining us as well, jumping in here. Matt, it's great to have you on the show as well.
But
Dorman, you were mentioned earlier, so why don't I go to you next, because we had some mention of this Houston team. They are number four in the nation. They were a one seed and the highest rated team heading into the NCAA tournament last year as well. How about Kelvin Sampson's team this year?
Absolutely loaded. Kelvin Sampson's got a great squad coming. LJ Cryer from Baylor a few years ago, now been in the system. I think he'll take a step up. Juwan Roberts, Emmanuel Sharp. And from Oklahoma, they brought in Milos Uzan, who will also give him some, I think, a real solid player that takes them, I think, from a really good team to championship caliber. I think that Sampson has all the pieces he needs. I think they can play with Kansas. I think they can challenge for the Big 12 with Kansas. And having said that, like you guys just said, they'll challenge for the championship if they're as good as I think they can be.
And I agree with it, Matt. What do you think? That maybe Uzan, I think, is going to be a huge addition to this team this year.
You know, I think he could step in pretty well for where the traditional point guards in that. And you like that with Cryer and Sharp on the wing. I think it'll be a good fit. He could distribute the ball to them and not have to worry about being a scorer as much as he had to last year in Oklahoma and struggled a little bit in that role.
And everyone else is back. Other than Sweat, everyone else is back, right? I mean, on this team pretty much, right?
A rarity in college basketball.
Yeah.
Shed's not back, is he?
Yeah, Shed. I'm sorry, I said Shed.
He's the only
Jamal Shed is gone. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I love this Houston team. I think they can win it all. They're my preseason pick to win it all. Last year, I picked Miami to the Final Four, so I know what I'm talking about here.
Tytel, number five in the nation. Yet the third team we're bringing up in the Big 12. How about the Cyclones this year, who are getting a lot of preseason love?
As they should. Coach TJ Otzelberger only won 19 games in 2023. He won 29 last year, including a Big 12 tournament title when he won three games in a row by 14 or more points, then made the Sweet 16 before a three-point loss to the Illini. They add a double-digit scorer in DeSean Jackson from Charlotte and an all-MVC player in Nate Heisey from Northern Iowa, returns the first-team all-conference point guard in Taman Lipsey and an all-conference freshman team power forward in Milan Momcilovic. They do lose Keyshawn Gilbert, Curtis Jones, and Trey King. So it's while the cupboard is not bare, they certainly lost some big pieces. Number five in the preseason poll, I think that is very accurate. And I think they, depending on how Kansas does, have a legit shot at winning a second straight Big 12 tournament championship.
Yeah.
Just a question for our historians. I guess that's Tytel and Stalika. Has the fifth ranked team in the preseason poll ever been the third pick in the conference ever? It's gotta
Big 12
be
last year.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
by the way, Tytel and correct me. I thought Keyshawn Gilbert was back.
He is.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah.
Giving an even bigger reason why this team could make a huge run.
I love this backcourt of Gilbert and Lipsey there. Actually, I think that that's could be one of the best. That could be the best backcourt of the conference. And we're talking with everything else in this league, which is impressive. Stalika, let me bring you in here as well. We're still in the top 10 here. We're down to our fourth team. How about number eight in the nation, Baylor?
You look at a team like Baylor, you get a couple notable returners in Langston Love and Jaden Nunn. But when you also look at some of the people they got out of the transfer portal and Norshad Omir coming from Miami and Jeremy Roach coming from Duke, you're certainly going to have a unit that should hopefully be cohesive together, but you've also got a couple top 100 freshmen with VJ Edcombe, Robert Wright III, and Jason Asamoah. I believe I'm pronouncing this correctly. This is going to be a team that's also going to get tested right off the bat with games against Gonzaga up in Spokane and against Calipari's Arkansas team down in Dallas. Oh, by the way, they also have a couple games in the Bahamas as well, a game against UConn, and finally they'll ease into the bathtub known as the Big 12.
Joby, my question on Baylor here is, among all these top teams in the Big 12, this is the team that's got to rely on the transfers the most, I think, which is kind of rare this
Or
day and age,
freshmen.
almost. Transferred freshmen is the most, the newbies the most, the newcomers.
Stalika is right. VJ Edgecombe, this is the kid to watch. As is, he's exciting, he's explosive. Playing off, I mean, this is the point guard conference, man. I mean, it's just amazing how good the point guards are. As it were, as Lipsy, point out Mayo, who we've discussed. It really is amazing. I think you're going to, this team will rise. It's what you said, Chad, though. This team will rise or fall with how the new guys integrate. Does VJ Edgecombe immediately, is he an immediate like lottery pick to come, which he very well may be? Or does he get lost? As freshmen sometimes get lost for a year or two. And Roach coming in to steady things, I think, is really valuable here. As the ACC guy, I saw what he did at Duke. He's not going to be asked to score here, which is good, but he will be asked to be a leader. He can be a leader, and he is a glue guy. And maybe that is why the newcomer issue might not be as tense for the Baylor Bears.
Dorman, we have yet another team that's also in the top 10 preseason. We're already five teams into this conference. Was a two seed in the NCAA tournament last year. Not even as a member of this conference, but you add them in to make this conference even more insane. And they're your Arizona Wildcats. What about your team this year?
Tommy Lloyd is bringing a lot back. Caleb Love, Jaden Bradley, Karrueche, the big guy, who I think is highly underrated because Balo had to be on the court so much. It was tough to get Karrueche enough minutes last year. I think he's an absolute stud. I think he has a huge year coming. And KJ Lewis, also another swing at crazy athletic guard. But if you remember last year where Oakland upset Kentucky in the tournament, there was a big guy down low, Trey Townsend. He was like the heart and the soul of the team. His dad had a media pass. He was behind the bucket with a camera. The whole story was great. But the kid is all in, and he's all heart and soul, and he lives for defense and rebounding. And I think this is what Arizona needs, a guy that isn't concerned about scoring, isn't concerned about what's going on other. He just wants to be there. He wants to win. I think Tommy Lloyd has a really good, a great nucleus, and will compete. And will be a strong player in this Big 12.
Oakland kind of needs him too.
Oakland doesn't have. Titel, I'd be remiss. You are an Arizona guy as well. To give you a few seconds on your team also.
Foreman did a pretty solid job. I'm excited about bringing in McDonald's All-American Carter Bryant. Still not sure exactly where he fits in. I've seen some reports that he's going to come off the bench, which seems like a waste of a McDonald's All-American, but time will tell. The other X factor is just joining a new conference. It's hard for the other teams because they don't know exactly how we play, but more so for us. And the bigger picture, I think the Big 12 tournament is going to be like an Elite Eight just because the quarterfinals will be all these ranked teams playing each other.
Quarterfinals. It might be when the round before the quarterfinals, where every teams play each other. It's wow. This is that. You're right. That is going to be an insane tournament, and it's also insane here that you got a team that in almost any other conference in the nation, Arizona will be picked to win this conference, and we're talking about them in pick number five right now.
Right. A top 10 team picked fifth in the conference. That is absurd.
Matt. Or Matt's cat, either one can answer. The only other team in the top 25 polls going into the season is the Cincinnati Bearcats. Is there anything? Is this a good team? Can this team actually hang with the other five?
I think they're a step below that, but there's still some nice pieces there that they got. Dylan Mitchell out of the transfer portal, and that meant to make us feel old, Edgerrin James's kid, Dizzle James, and that, Lukosius, the Butler transfer, now second year there. And Skilling's a real nice player. So there's some talent there on that. I think I said they're a step below these other five. And then also, oh man, another guy's been college forever who I like a lot. I think he's better benefited Cincy than he was Kentucky, CJ Frederick.
Um, Can I ask you or Stalika or just anybody on the panel, do you agree with the ranking? Did this surprise you that
Ask
Cincinnati?
Stalika, definitely ask Stalika.
I would probably say just based on experience, I can see why UC would be in the top 25 right here. Now, granted, this is a team that's made the NIT, I think, what, 2 or 3 straight years, but this is definitely going to be a now or never type season for Wes Miller. Of course, the other side of the coin is you look at someone like Skillings. Yes, he's the leading returning scorer, but I know Cincinnati fans, at least the ones I've listened to, they'd be frustrated with him half the time, and they probably see Jizzle James as more of the future leader, shall we say. But another thing you also have to keep in mind, at least guys are going to be eligible right off the bat. They're not having to wait like through late November or early December for guys like Ozzie Bandiago to be completely eligible. So they'll get him right off the bat.
I gotta say, this surprised me. Maybe I'm the only one. Like, had you asked me to assess Cincinnati before the poll came out, I would have said, Wes Miller's a good coach. They have good pieces. I think they can play their way back inside the bubble. To see them not in the rankings, but in the preseason rankings, that just, how many NIT teams, it just did surprise me. And what am I missing? Are they better than what I think?
Honestly, Griggs, I agree with you, and I hate agreeing with you so much. But
Did you see who was in the NIT last year?
I looked at Cincinnati. I said, "This is a team that's on the bubble, probably going to be on the good side of it." And then they're number 20 in the rankings, which I did. So I agree with you about not understanding that. But maybe the preseason pollsters know more than me. It's never been that way before, but maybe this year
Up that you would have had a
it'll
better NIT of
be.
teams that turned down the NIT.
Let's move on here. Tytel, Texas Tech was in the NCAA tournament last year with a solid seed at a 6 and has almost everybody other than Pop Isaacs back. Is this a tournament team again this year?
I think you buried the lead. Like Pop Isaacs was like a huge part of their team
Okay,
last year.
I tried to play this off for our Red Raiders fans. Come on.
They have a great replacement at the point in Elijah Hawkins from Minnesota. They also bring in JT Toppin, who was a great freshman in New Mexico, and Kevin Overton from Drake. I don't know if there's anybody left on Drake after all their transfers. We still haven't gotten to West Virginia yet. No, I think the Red Raiders should be solid. But again, like I think that we've started. I mean, they're not ranked in half the conferences, so.
They did get a few votes in the poll. One of those teams receiving votes. Joby, also in the tournament last year as a 6 seed was BYU, but we got a new head coach here now.
Yeah, that changes up everything. I think Kentucky got a good one with Pope, and we'll talk about that. That was talked about in the SEC prep. But BYU, I think BYU is a tournament team, like they were last year. So get ready, all you bracketologists, to pull your hair out over the Friday, Sunday, matchup sort of thing. And it cost them, it cost them, Gonzaga, if you remember last year, got the 5 seed that was rightfully given to BYU. They have some freshmen coming in that were actually highly rated, which when was the last time you heard BYU get that? That's
Yeah, it's
not
got Igor
uncommon.
D Damon is a demon, a demon,
Damon, da
demon.
Damon,
Yeah, Damon. He
and
looks
Kanan
great.
Ketching. So they have two top 50 guys, which is interesting. BYU is kind of a systemy program. I feel like over the years, to a degree, I think that they're going to be strong again. Going to Provo is tough. They will win home games, on a consistent basis. This is the place where the Kansases of the world, et cetera, could stub their toe. But anyway, we saw Gonzaga for years, always have fits, when they were in the WCC. That being said, well, and BYU would often win in the Kennel, in that case. But I think this is where they land. They are below Texas Tech. I actually would say Texas Tech is ahead of the Bearcats. They're below Texas Tech and probably below Cincinnati as well. But you know what? In this conference, being eighth is a tournament spot.
Right, not that the Big 12 is any stranger to rabid environments, but one of the things about BYU, and I know you all know this, is that the Marriott Center is big and loud, and as big as it is, the fans are right on top of the court. It's just a great atmosphere, and it's a great atmosphere for a WCC game. What's it going to be like with Arizona and Kansas and Baylor and all of these teams, Houston coming in? We're going to have some fun games this year at BYU, and those are not going to be easy to win. I mean, BYU, for whatever reason, I mean, that place just gets jacked for basketball. Have they ever not sold out a game?
No, and they're the professional sports team. I know you have Salt Lake up the road, but they are the professional sports team for that area. They have the intensity. It's like, for both football and basketball, it's like an SEC environment.
The
So they,
students, I mean, so many students.
yeah, who are older and louder,
Yeah.
because of the missionary trips. Stalika, you're our scheduling expert. Do you have their schedule in front of you? Because I would like to know who does. I don't know off the top of my head who does go that's at the top of the conference, who we can point to and go, uh-oh, Kansas, uh-oh, Arizona, like we were saying, because they might not, with
Yeah.
16
And
teams, it
Mooney
might be.
Magic, Iowa State, this is a play. I mean, there are a lot
Yeah.
of rabid venues in this conference, maybe more than most, but like, yeah, BYU is certainly in the discussion.
Saliga.
Well, I'm going to have to pull up the BYU schedule if we're just
Our
strictly talking
Arizona folks
about
have
that.
pointed out Arizona does go to the Marriott Center,
They
so
get
yeah.
Baylor. They get Baylor at home. They get Texas Tech at home.
That's some big
They get Arizona at home, like we said. There's some big games.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, all their
Great.
highlights are going to be within the conference, but if you're talking about non-conference, you've got a game at Providence, but their only other games of note are going to be in the Rady Children's Invitational in San Diego, where they play an underrated Ole Miss squad in either Purdue or NC State. But a lot of bye games in between then and the time they start the
And
Big 12.
that's how they'll have a net that's five again, like last
But
year. But
you do,
this
if you when
time
you have this type of conference schedule, you need some bye games.
they can't. But here's the thing: is they can't avoid the Holy War this year. It cannot be
I'm
avoided
assuming
because
that we
it's
get
a
two of them
conference
again.
game.
Yeah.
Let's keep rolling here. Dorman, let me go back to you. Another team that got a little bit of preseason love, and kind of like Baylor, could be relying on new players coming in. How about K-State this year?
Yep, Jerome Tang, real disappointing last year after a magical Elite Eight run the year before. They're not bringing many back. They're bringing three back, and they're bringing eight new guys in. Some of the transfers are big, though. They've got some big time names, some big time players. If you remember Coleman Hawkins, a big guy for Illinois down low, he's a good athlete. He's a good player. He's coming in for him. Doug McDaniel played some guard at Michigan, had some issues off the court. He's going to play for Jerome Tang. Uguana Onesu, the Kentucky, he was a big time recruit. Kentucky was thrilled to land, didn't work out there. He's coming for Tang too. And Akor, and he was for under the radar teams. He was at Samford, and he was a factor. He's a good ball player. If
Very
Tang
good.
can make this mix work, because he's got some good ball players, I think he could have a solid year right in the middle of this Big 12.
I agree. I think this is that one of those teams right in that bubble pack here from this Big 12 for 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th places. Matt, we haven't discussed a team that was in the NCAA tournament last year as a 9 seed. How about Jamie Dixon's TCU team?
Yeah, I think this year they're going to drop off a little bit in that. I'm just look at that roster. I think Uday's going to take a big step up in that. But man, Franklin Collins, it feels like his fifth school in that. And then just look at the rest of this roster.
Well,
It's a step below.
95% of last year's scoring is gone off of this roster.
Yeah,
How
that
about
and
that
like,
for a number?
yeah, but the 5% that's back. Whoa, boy.
that's probably basically Uday. Like
Yep.
it like. And like this, okay, right? Like Jace Posey, David Punch are like decently rated freshmen, and that. But like, and there's not like standout like HRHR. We mentioned at Kent State, no, like even under the radar standout transfer here at TCU. So that's man. I saw Torvik had him at 49th, and even that feels high looking at this roster. That's where man, Dixon's a heck of a coach, but man, it's gonna take a job this year. Like I wouldn't be shocked if they're like 11th or 12th in the league this year.
A team that I know Mr. Tytel would love to see 11th, 12th, maybe lower in the conference this year. While you no longer, your team is no longer in the Pac-12, you did bring your in-state rivals with you. Arizona State now in the Big 12 with you. And Tytel, what about the Sun Devils this year?
They have a McDonald's All-American and Jaden Quaintance. They have some other good guy, Sonon or Sosan, who flipped from Tucson to Tempe, I heard, after
two
we got
five star prospects, I think. Yeah.
Guys. BJ Freeman from Milwaukee, Bashir Jihad from Ball State, Austin Mason from Missouri State, so a lot of Midwestern family values as well. I think that they're going to have problems. I mean, Quaintance is legit, but I think it's just, as we said, like half the conference is ranked, and the Sun Devils are not. So it's certainly not a gimme. I've seen us lose. I've seen my Wildcats lose in Tempe more often than I'd like to admit, sadly. But I think this is certainly a bottom half of the conference team.
Agreed. Does Bobby Hurley have the hottest seat in the entire country? I mean, seriously.
I don't know the country, but maybe this conference.
Yeah.
Problem is, he's lived on that hot seat for about 3 or 4 years, and he's gotten accustomed to it.
Griggs.
That's the curtain of distraction for all the people.
Yeah. Griggs, his brother's hot.
Griggs, we have not yet mentioned one more team that was in the NCAA tournament last year. Colorado was. Do they have anything this year coming back?
No.
Okay.
I love Tad Boyle. Tad Pohl as a coach. He's done really well there. They were really good last year. Actually, not just got to the tournament, but made the round of 32. You don't really think of Colorado as being a blue blood, but they have had some really good teams under him. But they're tasked with, I don't know if 95% of the scoring is gone, but about 85 to 90% of it is. All their starters are gone. And this is just the problem that I sort of have when looking at these teams coming in. It's hard to assess a team that you've never seen before.
Matt, you had a thought on them, or?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like that, this like again, looking at this roster, I'm like, this looks like the quote at Major League. Who are these guys? Well,
yeah,
well, like yeah, that Boyle's a hell of a coach, but man, again,
oh yeah, yeah,
they lost three pros. Team,
they were good. That was they lost three second pros. Round game against Marquette was real scary.
Yeah, they were great last year.
Dorman, Utah, another new team to this conference coming over from the Pac-12. Do you expect anything from the Utes this year?
No.
Another
team that's lost everything. Five of their top six are gone. There's a fifth-year senior in Gabe Madsen. He's solid. He's good, but he doesn't have much other good pieces around him. His twin brother is transferring in. I just don't see enough scoring. I don't see enough athletes. Craig Smith's in for a long year, Utah.
Well, maybe a team that does have a little bit of something this year, a little bit of life among the bottom teams. Joby, UCF has a couple guys that has some talent, but I don't know if they have the depth. But what are your thoughts?
But you know what? This is not your 2023 Big 12, except at the top. At the top it is. But this now looks like a normal conference that has bottom feeders. I mean, we weren't used to the Big 12 having true bottom feeders where, when Kansas State wasn't good or Iowa State wasn't good, they still could bring the entire conference up because they were actually decent teams. The last three teams mentioned are not really that decent. UCF is decent. They might be able to get some wins here and there. As you mentioned out, they got Darius Thompson, Johnson, Jalen Sellers coming back. They have some ability. They showed some, they were tricky. When people went to Orlando, they lost last year. This is kind of a different part of the country, but it's going to be a trek for most of these teams. It's a different part of the country than the BYU, but it's a lot of the same problems that teams will find when they go there. And so UCF just might, if they can put out of conference, they were awful out of conference last year. If they can put that a little bit more together this year, get to 500 in the Big 12 with a few scouts here and there, who knows? We might be talking about UCF. I seriously doubt we will not. I am very confident saying we will not be talking about Utah, Colorado, or Arizona State. I think UCF will be ahead of them in the conference. They will be NIT. I truly believe NIT is their floor, not their ceiling, like it was last
Wow.
year.
Okay.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Tytel, a team that another team that maybe we won't be talking much more about after today. How about West Virginia?
Mountaineers only won 9 games last year under Josh Eilert, so we certainly should not have talked about them last year. But Darian DeVries has won 25 or more games in each of the past 4 years at Drake. I know this is not the MVC. He does add the two-time MVC Player of the Year and his son in Tucker. He adds a 2021 national champion in Joseph Yusufu. He adds a 15-points-a-game scorer in Javon Small from Oklahoma State and a 20-point-a-game scorer, Jaden Stone from Detroit Mercy, and the leading shot blocker in the MVC, Toby Okoni. He's got transfers who are fantastic. He needs them. They did lose a ton. Raekwon Battle, Jesse Edwards, Quinn Slezinski, Noah Farrakhan, and Kirk Creasa, or as I like to call him, that traitor!
So, are you kind of putting them up there with UCF like Joby did? Do you think this team is NIT, maybe NCAA, good with all these transfers or not quite?
NIT is a legit possibility. He has
Okay.
good transfers from good schools who produced at a high level last year. He might have to start all five of them, but his son is a two-time conference player of the year. Is there a better transfer in America?
Yeah, the two-time conference player of the year, but not in the Big 12.
Not yet.
But hey, I'm not with you on the West Virginia, but you may be right, I may be wrong. We'll see how it plays out. Stalika, we do have one last team we have not yet discussed in this conference, and that is Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I guess T. Boone Pickens wasn't able to entice people through NIL for the Cowboys this year. But if you're looking at two returning players in Bryce Thompson and Jamron Keller, you're also going to have Khalil Brantley coming over from LaSalle, who is one of their leading scorers, who left North Philly. Get Brandon Newman coming over from Western Kentucky, and they also get Abu Usman, who was at North Texas and Xavier prior to coming to Oklahoma State. But probably going to be a long year in Stillwater. But on the bright side, at least they still get to play Oklahoma once in Oklahoma City during the non-conference portion of the year before they get into the Big 12. So Bedlam, not quite dead yet.
Well, Griggs, how about Steve Letts coming in here at Oklahoma State? Do you think he's the right guy for this job and to build this program back up?
That's a good question. I've been kind of thinking about that quite a bit. I'm going to go with yes, that I think that he was a solid hire, and they do have a few pieces coming in this year, but I don't think it's going to happen right away. And again, with basketball sort of being what it is in the NIL portal era, do you build anymore, or do you just try and load up on the portal and recruits as best you can from year to year to year? And if that's the case, is he the right guy? I don't know. Sometimes coaches that have a history of building may not be as effective in the modern day anymore.
Especially the modern day any power conference.
Right, yeah.
Well, that is all of 300 teams that are in this conference, or however many it is. I want to do is what we do at the end of each of these podcasts: go through each of you and ask three questions. Number one, who's going to win the conference regular season title? Number two, how many bids is the league going to get? And number three, do you have any other final thoughts about either the Big 12 or any other subject you want to hit on tonight? And Matt, let me start with you tonight.
So I'm gonna pick Houston to win it. I'll go with 8 bids, and this will go in half. I know there's gonna be 9 total. I'm gonna say Texas Tech just misses of the ones, kind of at like the 6 to 9 range. In that, I think they just leave it like literally like first four out. In that, and I also found that we're used to how the Big 12 basically has no weaknesses. That's not the case this year. We went over some weaknesses at the bottom, and had to where I think you can see some top teams that have a little gaudier records, more like four. Are they doing 18 or 20 games?
20. 20.
Okay, so more like I think like 16-4 is 15-5s, to where they'll beat each other up some, but then they'll take care of the bottom.
Okay, Stalika.
I would probably say we're going to be looking at about 8 or 9 teams that are probably going to end up winning the, at least getting to the NCAA tournament this year out of the Big 12. It's going to be a tough call as to who exactly would be winning the regular season title. I would probably say Kansas would turn out to be the favorite right here. Although I would not rule out the Arizona Wildcats. Shout out to Dorman and Tytel right here. But we've also seen some strange things at least come out of the Big 12 Conference Tournament, which is still going to be in Kansas City, I believe. But as far as a final thought, it's hard to believe you have to go back to the Mick Cronin era as far as to when Cincinnati last made the NCAA tournament. I think the experience alone, they're probably going to end up getting an 8 or 9 seed, but at least there's still going to be one guy on the roster that has at least one victory in his career over Xavier. And of course, that's a one-time Butler player, Seamus Lakosius, as opposed to everyone else on the roster.
Oh,
Anyway.
there's fighting words.
Yeah.
Dorman.
I'm going with 9 tournament teams. 10 wouldn't stun me. I'm going with Kansas, as a bunch of you guys mentioned. I think Zeke Mayo puts them over the hump. I think he's such a difference maker with DeJuan Harris and Dickinson. I think he's the difference. Kansas wins the title. My final thought, it's going to be interesting when we talk about tournament teams as the season goes on, because what can your conference record be if you're the 9th or 10th team? Can you go 8 and what, 12 and make the tournament, 7 and 13? It's going to be tight at the end there with these last few teams on the cut line, but then they're going to eat up a lot in the preseason. So there are a lot of these a lot of these overall records are going to start strong, and then we're going to start piling on conference losses. So it's going to be interesting. And like everyone said, there's some tough places to play. Central Florida isn't easy. BYU is tough. Iowa State, West Virginia, historically, when they're good. And there's a lot of travel going in from West Coast to East Coast. So there's going to be some upsets, a lot of upsets that people don't see coming in this conference. It's going to be a really fun year in the Big 12.
I agree with you there. Tytel.
So I think the champ is going to be Iowa State. I was going to go Houston or Kansas State. Excuse me, Houston or Kansas. But once you reminded me that Keyshawn Gilbert's back, I'm like, oh, that's a good team. Let's put the
Oh,
Cyclones.
they're not bad.
Yeah.
As far as how many make it, I think this is actually one of the easier ones to set the number at 8.5. So KenPom and Torvik both have the exact same 8 teams in the top 28 in the country: Houston, Kansas, Iowa State, Arizona, Baylor, Texas Tech, Cincy, and BYU. So you can book those 8. The 9th is where we get some separation. KenPom has Kansas State at 49. Torvik has them at 29. So that's the coin flip. And I like Jerome Tang, so I'm going to go with 9 that they're in. And then my final thought is not about the Big 12. The exhibition page is always one of my favorite things just because you never know what's going to happen. And I saw tonight that Tristan Maxwell of Hampton, who was a perfectly mediocre starter for them last year, 20 points, 11 boards, and 11 assists tonight in the win over Virginia Lynchburg. Yes, it's a like D5 school, but yes, it's a triple double. So shout out Tristan Maxwell. He might be in for a hell of a season.
All right, there we go. We just went way under the radar.
That was pretty far under the radar.
I like it though. There's my pick for the MEAC already.
UVA wise must not have been available that night.
Joby.
Speaking of UVA, I think 9 is a good number that teams mentioned. I think there is a little bit of a cliff. I think John Dorman are right on it. Like I said, UCF could surprise and supplant like a Cincinnati or someone like that that's unexpected, but 9 seems like a good number. The reason why 9 is because we do have a drop off in the Big 12 this year. You're going to see people put up realistic records. You better be 500 or at least right at around 500 in the Big 12 this year. Whereas in the past, you could get away with maybe being, 7 and 11, but oh, you beat Kansas and you beat Arizona. Can't do that this year. Well, guess what? If you're this year in the Big 12, 7-11, you didn't beat Kansas without also losing to Oklahoma State. And that's going to be a problem this year that didn't exist when, oh, well, you lost, you lost to K-State, at home, and that's a bad loss. No. This is going to be bad losses that you take. Simple math. As I mentioned at the very top of the show, my pick to win is Kansas of the regular season. play the lottery if you want to know who wins the tournament in the Big 12, because that's how it turns out. It's always crazy. But the regular season champ will be restored, right? Kansas will get their inherited crown. And my last comment is, in the next couple of days, you will see the preseason rankings for the J&G, which serve as a basis, like the net, et cetera, for the power element of early on in the season for the calculations of the J&G. As a note, the J&G agrees with me and says 9 teams in the tournament in the at-large level field.
I agree with you. I agree with almost everybody here. I'm at the 9 teams also. I think the Titels 8 that are in, I completely agree completely. I think a 9th does get pulled in, a UCF, a Texas, a Kansas State, somebody in that group does get pulled in as the 9th. My pick to win it all is Kansas, and by that I mean the Big 12 championship. Maybe not the Big 12 tournament, but very likely another tournament that gets played after the Big 12 tournament. But we'll get to that a little later on in the preseason show. But I love this Kansas team this year. I do think they win this conference. Griggs, how about you?
My preseason pick to win it all is Houston, to win, at least be the first place team and to win the national championship. I'm just really, really big on this Cougars team. As far as teams into the tournament, I think I'm gonna go with 8 and stick with 8, and it's the same 8 that you all had. I'm not picking Virginia to make it out of here for two reasons. One, they're not even in the conference, but if they were, Tony Bennett just retired. So I've got to not go with them.
Any other final thought?
A lot is going to happen between now and the end. In any given year, 8 teams that are in the preseason top 25, about a third of them don't even make the NCAA tournament, and half of them don't finish in the top 25. But at least from where we sit now in the middle of October, oh my God, what a quarterfinal this would be. And really, with the I kind of thought that when the Big Ten lost its 10-team double round robin format, that it would lose something, and it might still. But there's still 8 really solid teams in this league, and when you've got 5 of the top 10, that's almost unbelievable that you could start out with so many teams ranked that high.
It's legitimately possible this year that all four members of the Final Four could come from this conference, which
Yeah.
will be the first time since 1976 when four Big Ten teams were in the Final
Yes,
Four,
four Big
with
Ten
Michigan,
teams.
Indiana, Rutgers, and UCLA all in the
Yes.
Final Four that
I
year.
mean, it was a remarkable year for the Big Ten.
On that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us. Check out the season preview tab up there for links to all of our podcasts, all the great interviews, write-ups. The next few days here, check out the J&G tab up there as well, as Joby mentioned. But on behalf of David Dorman, David Griggs, Joby Fortune in the center square, John Tytel, Matt Sikowski, John Stalica, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.